This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and get our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime fun and healthy. So go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show for you today, so grab your pen and paper and your favorite beverage and let's get started. My guest today is certified health coach and healthy food chef, Janet Verney. Janet is a person who believes in the magic of miracles, the good in others, the power of action, and the healing power of love. She likes to say that there's a garden in everyone waiting to bloom. All you have to do is nourish your roots. Janet is known as the wellness designer, and that certainly got my attention. We're going to talk more about that and a lot of other topics on today's show. Janet lives and breathes health and wellness with a passion for creativity, imagination, and life. In her recent book, Roots to Wellness, Janet shares the inspiring story of her journey from the depths of disease to a life of vibrant wellness and her passion to support others in doing the same. Janet has a lot to share with us today, and I just know you're going to be inspired by her story. Welcome to the show, Janet.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
I'm really excited to have this conversation today, and this is a topic that I'm very passionate about, and just knowing what I do about you, I know you're really passionate about it too. I want to start our conversation by asking you if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and what it means to be the wellness designer.
So my background is that some 30 years ago, I had a bit of a health crisis, and I was not breathing properly, and I could not seem to get it under control, and was passed on from doctor to doctor, and it got pretty frightening at times, to the point where there were times I'd wake up in the middle of the night not being able to breathe at all. So I would stand up and try to get my breathing going, and so I was on many medications and as well as a breathing machine that I was on 20 minutes twice a day. And it really, it was very inconvenient, especially for travel. And I felt really very much a prisoner to the machine. And so I sought out other alternatives and working with both my Western medicine doctors as well as holistic practitioners, and food played a big role in this for me. And so I ended up getting a certification from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and I also went to the Hippocrates Health Institute and learned all about living foods and raw foods and the role that they can play in your health. And as a result of that, I ended up off of all my medicines and off of that machine, which was a huge blessing.
How did you go down the path of living foods and raw foods?
And I'm not 100% raw, so I just wanted to throw that out there. I think that can scare a lot of people away. And I think it's more about incorporating more raw foods and more living foods. And when I was at Hippocrates, they talked a lot about, you know, phytonutrients and the power of living foods that when we eat them, they're actually still growing. And so it's amazing the amount of oxygen. It oxygenates the blood. And so we're getting so many good phytonutrients things like broccoli sprouts have so many more nutrients and nutrient-dense power foods than like regular broccoli. And we all know that broccoli is a wonderful food, excuse me, but in the broccoli sprouts and other types of sprouts, they're just hugely powerful for us in getting really good nutrients.
Did you notice a difference real quick when she started changing what you were eating, or did it happen over time?
I noticed a huge difference probably in the first 3 weeks. My lungs started clearing. I had more energy. I did not feel as fatigued. I was able to wean off of my breathing vest.
Did you have to change the way you were cooking when you changed the types of food you were eating? Did you go more towards, because some people go more towards the just eating raw, or did you just use more of the vegetables and more of those type of foods in what you were eating?
Well, the first and most important thing was juicing in the morning and getting that fresh start of really, that's the first thing that hits my body in the morning is a very power-packed green juice that has sunflower shoots, pea shoots, also cucumbers and celery, and it's kind of a detoxification because when we're sitting all night long or sleeping all night long, sort of toxins can build up from everything from the day before. And so the green juice is a really great way of sort of flushing things out and getting your day started. And it's actually really protein-packed. It's lots of phytonutrients in there. So such good nutrition packed in a juice. And one of the things we learned at Hippocrates was that we always chew our juice and drink our food. And what that means is that you want the natural enzymes that we have when we chew that begins the whole digestive process. We want to do that even with our juice. And then when we eat our food, we want to chew it to the point where it becomes juice. It's almost liquid before we swallow it. And all of those things really, really help us digest our food so much better.
That's interesting because that's totally, that would be the opposite of what most people would think you would do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that it is.
So is the role of wellness designer, is that something that you came up with and created, or is that something that you learned about and then just really started practicing?
It actually really developed fairly organically in a conversation with a fellow health counselor. And because I'm always working on different ways to optimize my health and my friends and my clients and people around me, I'm always designing programs and products that will support people in their healing. And I'm a big believer that when we give our bodies the opportunity to heal and we set that stage, that the body will do the work. And so it's kind of removing toxins but also bringing in a lot of the good. And I always encourage people that rather than look at what you can't have or what you shouldn't do, if you focus on the positive, if you focus on the things that you can do and start bringing in more things like a green juice in the morning or bringing in more sprouts or vegetables into your diet and more rainbow of color in your diet, then you'll start weaning out the things that maybe aren't serving your body quite as well.
I think that's really true. It's a lot of what you think about and the words you use really impact how you think about it and the results that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that almost anyone can benefit from Roots to Wellness, no matter what their age or stage in life?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, anyone who has a strong desire to either prevent an illness or are struggling in the midst of an illness or have a family member that's struggling, I think that they may come to my site, find some tips, my blogs, the recipes, things like that. So I think absolutely anyone who really wants to focus on healing and being well, it would serve them well.
Interesting. Sounds like you've got a lot of great resources there, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And, you know, I like to ask all of my guests, and you've talked a little bit about it, you know, but I like to ask them what motivates them to live healthier and share their message. We call it your big why, and I know you talked about your health challenge and how that really got you to shift, but what got you really passionate and motivated to help others?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think learning that, all the learning that I did as far as learning that our bodies have this opportunity to heal, and when I personally felt so stuck and frustrated and I lived in a place of fear, and now I know that that can be completely different. So when I see somebody else going through this, I just want to reach out and say, it'll get better. And it, you know, there are so many things that you can do. And I've always had this desire to support and help people. And, you know, my friends have called me a giver. And I think that is, or a gifter or a giver. And it is true. I have a tremendous passion for educating people and supporting them to design their own program.
Well, and you definitely know firsthand how it can impact your health, your energy, you know, how you feel physically. So I know when you go through that, you probably want to shout from the rooftops so that others can learn about it and can shift what they're doing and get healthy again.
Exactly, and that's where my book came from, Roots to Wellness. And for me, it was really unearthing what was at the root cause, what was causing this imbalance in my body and allowing me to be sick, and then how I weeded out certain obstacles that were standing in my way, sometimes making excuses of why I couldn't get on the treadmill or why I couldn't bring this into my life. And so I had to weed out some obstacles, and then I began to really nourish myself, and I looked at my self-care, the food in my life, my spirituality, the outside resources, the people that could support me. So it was really quite the journey, quite the process. And so my goal is to support other people in helping them to design their own process for healing.
That's really interesting. We're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the reaction you got from doctors, because this is so not a traditional path. And I also want to talk about epigenetics, because I think there's a lot that people can start to learn about that and how their genes, they have a lot more control over what happens in their body than they think. So I want to talk about that after we come back from the break. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Janet Verney with Roots to Wellness. And before the break, we were talking about her health journey and what she did. And, you know, the thing I thought was really interesting when she was talking about starting the morning with, a green juice smoothie, and she said she learned to chew your juice and drink your food. So if you missed that, you want to go back and listen to that. It's an interesting way to think about what you're eating and drinking. And Janet, I want to ask you, when you started making the shift and eating healthier and doing that, what did your traditional doctors say? Because that's not, they often say eat better, but they don't give you any advice or direction.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, in the beginning, some of the doctors I was working with were absolutely, they foo-fooed the ideas of acupuncture and the types of foods that I was eating and that my diet could actually support my lung function. And I actually had one doctor that wanted to remove a portion of my lung to dissect it. And,
wow.
One of the things that I learned through this process is that, and one of my favorite mentors, Dr. Bernie Siegel, he said one time, he said, your doctor needs to be your partner, and you need to be a voice and an advocate for your own health. So in the process of surrounding myself with the right doctors and the right process, I almost interviewed my doctors. And they have become my greatest cheerleaders. They're fantastic. And I have their email address, their phone, their cell, and they have truly become one of my greatest cheerleaders in life, and they're very supportive now.
Interesting. And I absolutely agree about really being an advocate and taking, really owning your health. My mom had health issues for a number of years, and before she passed away, and she was going in for fairly major procedure, and something just didn't feel right. So she finally, before she, went in for surgery, she looked at the doctor and said, I want you to answer me this truthfully. And she said, if I were your mother, what would you recommend I do? Would you recommend I have this procedure? And he looked at her with a panic-stricken face, and he said, absolutely not. I tell her to wait.
Oh, wow.
And my mom turned around, got dressed, and we walked out of the hospital.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And, it didn't impact, her health or her, and it would have been very, very traumatic. And, when you think about that, it's interesting. But you have to feel confident in asking those questions and really looking at it as a partnership. I want to ask you, on your website and in your book, you talk about something called epigenetics, and you say that we can actually change the attitude of our genes. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, most people know what genetics means. It's basically the genes, the DNA that we're born with. And so we come with this little set of programming, if you will, So we have these genes, and then epi means surface. So epi is the surface of the gene. And what researchers have found, which I find absolutely fascinating, is that depending on our lifestyle, our nutrition, the medications we're on, even some of the things our ancestors did, will actually affect the way the gene expresses itself, the actual surface. So I like to think, and this is the way I describe it in my book as well, is that when we begin to add in these nutrient-dense foods, these whole foods, seasonal foods, organic foods that are really healthy for our bodies, we reduce the amount of medications that we're on and maybe even get rid of all of them altogether, depending on your situation. Maybe we need some supplemental support, but we can actually influence, we can change the attitude of the way our genes express themselves. So if you're predisposed for like heart disease or diabetes, like type 2 diabetes, you can actually prevent. It's like flipping a switch off. You can turn that gene off to prevent that disease from happening in many cases. I'm not saying all, but in many cases we can. And I have to say, I was born with some really yucky genes because I lost my dad when I was 27 to heart disease. I lost my mom to dementia and Alzheimer's when she was relatively young. And watching what they went through, and I look back at, you know, their diets and the way they led their lifestyle, and I could see the cause. I could see the cause and effect. And so part of me, and I have siblings as well in the same boat, is, you know, I was going to do what I could to really keep that switch from flipping on to the heart disease and the dementia. And there's so many things we can do with food that will prevent that from happening.
And I absolutely agree with you. I think a lot of people tend to, and I think it's getting less and less, but people tend to say it runs in the family, it's hereditary, there's nothing you can do about it. And it really, that has more to do with people eating the same way and following the same habits than it does what you have control over. I think people forget that they really do have a lot of control over how their health is based on the choices that they make and what they put in their body.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And, you know, I really like to remind people, and I know I've mentioned it before, but people don't realize that you can impact up to six generations by the choices that you make and, you know, how you take care of your body, because that passes forward. My dad had heart disease, and generations before him all died at an early age. He made changes and lived much longer than he should have, and now that was passed on to the nine of us. It would passed on to, you know, the almost 30 grandchildren. Now we've got great-grandchildren that are being influenced by those habits. So it really does work, and people need to understand. That's one of the reasons that I love these conversations. They really need to understand how they can shift what they're doing and really own their health. Just because something's going on doesn't mean that's what has to be.
Right. I like to, when I give talks, I like to talk about our bodies being like a sophisticated biocomputer. And the food and the exercise and all of those things that we do day to day, the meditation, any of those things that we bring into our lives that are going to improve our lives, it's like the software. It's the software that's programming these sophisticated biocomputers. And if you had a really fancy sports car and you drove it into a gas station and you put diesel in it, it probably wouldn't run. If you put in like regular, it's probably going to run, but a little on the sluggish side. But you put in that premium gasoline, that really high quality, and that sports car is going to run beautifully. So I feel the same way about our bodies, that, you know, we're programming our bodies for really good health or really not so good health.
Absolutely. And it's funny you use that example, because that's the one that I was just thinking of with, you know, what we put in our cars. And our cars are replaceable. Our body's not. You know, we've got the one we were born with. And, I mean, we can replace some parts now and then, but, I mean, that's not the best thing to do. But, right. You know, it's, we really want to take care of our health, and we want to take care of the choices that we're making.
Very much so.
You know, I think of, you know, my grandkids and being able to run after them and do things with them. I want to do that for a long time. I've worked way too hard to, you know, not be able to enjoy it at this point.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to that. I've got to get my son married first. But, yeah, that's the plan for the future. But my biggest goal right now with better health is to be able to travel, something that I've always wanted to do but was fairly restricted and couldn't do that. And now I can go on an adventure and, you know, feel like I can enjoy it and not worry about carrying a 50-pound breathing machine. And so, yeah, and having the energy to be able to go and do these things. And really, lifestyle changes, and a big part of that was the food that I was putting in my body has just made a huge difference.
It's interesting because I think a lot of people probably take things like that for granted, they just because they can do it. But if you look at your life, there are probably things that people can't do because of their health, either because they've got excess weight or they have health challenges. And, you know, I challenge people to stop and think, what would your life be like if you didn't have those challenges and those restrictions? And I would, you know, not everything can be changed by what you eat or those choices that you make, but I would bet that quite a few things could be changed.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things I think for me that's really, as I said before, the sprouts and the pea shoots and the sunflower shoots, because they are so nutrient dense, that is a huge thing. Even if you added that one thing to your diet, you would see great improvement. And I hear this excuse a lot that, oh, it's so expensive to eat organic and to eat all these vegetables. And it's actually pennies per meal to add sprouts to your diet. And I actually grow all my own, and they're so simple to grow. It's such an easy process, you know, and they're right there in my window, and I just take a little scissors and clip some and throw them in my juice or my salads, and it's an easy, easy, inexpensive way to add nutrients to your daily diet.
Absolutely. I know we grow a lot of herbs because I love to use those in cooking, and what we found is we can use that instead of using a lot of salt or things that aren't nearly as healthy for us, and it's so flavorful.
Yeah, I love my herbs. I have a kitchen garden right outside my kitchen door that has all of the different herbs, of course, in season. I do grow a few indoors that I use on a daily basis, but yeah, it's wonderful to add flavoring to food.
So we're going to go ahead and take another quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, I know that you don't believe that a one-size-fits-all diet works, and I don't either. So I want to talk a little bit about that and something that is called bio-individuality and share just a little bit about that with our listeners. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Janet Verney with Roots to Wellness. And before the break, we were talking about epigenetics and how you really can change your genes and how they react by the choices you make and the food that you eat. It doesn't have to be just because it, you know, it was for past generations. You can actually change it, which is what I love. And I want to shift a little bit, Janet, and ask you to tell us more about why you think the one-size-fits-all diet doesn't work and why you believe in an approach that includes bio-individuality.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I really truly believe, I mean, we are all so different, and you know, we're all born with our own set of genes and our brown eyes or our blonde hair or whatever it is. And what foods, you know, one man's food can be another man's poison. So really, we really need to customize a diet that is you know, specific to what our body needs. Some people run better on carbohydrates. Some people run better on proteins. Some people run better on having more fat in their diet. Of course, good quality fats. And, of course, in any of the diets that are going to be right for you, you want to make sure that you're eating really high-quality foods so that, you know, if you function better with, you know, more protein in your diet, that you're eating really lean, organically grown protein, animal proteins, or getting more proteins from your leafy green vegetables and your pea shoots and your sunflower shoots. There are some wonderful protein powders out there that are not included, you know, that do not have dairy in them. So it's really whatever it is, the route that you choose that's going to work best for your body, you really want to customize it to really be what you're going to enjoy eating and what gets you through whatever your day is going to be. So if you're working full-time, sometimes it's a little bit of pre-prepared, you know, advanced planning, you know, making a granola bar or something that is really healthy rather than some of the store-bought ones. But having those kinds of foods on hand, and it's really meeting you as an individual. And I feel like a lot of these prepackaged diets that come, they may help you lose weight, but the problem is we rebound on these things, and we don't stick with them because they didn't serve us or fit us well to begin with, and it wasn't the foods that we enjoy eating. So, and a lot of these, the other red flag for me is if you take any of these prepackaged foods that, you know, are made by these different, you know, national diet programs, and you look at the ingredients, I would say probably about half of them you can't pronounce, and they're made with some type of a chemical or a preservative, and those kinds of things can really affect our health. So I'd prefer that people really eat clean, whole foods and, you know, get a little creative in the kitchen and, you know, and if they're not creative in the kitchen, then, you know, looking at what areas around them serve those types of foods and meals.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think eating healthier absolutely makes a huge difference. And I would really challenge our listeners, because they may say, I can't do it all at once. And it is challenging to make a shift like that. But what you can do is do it meal by meal. Choose a healthier snack. I find just by keeping some vegetables and fruit up on a higher shelf, you know, where it's eye level in the refrigerator, we tend to grab it more than we do the things that are more the, you know, more unhealthy options. So it's really about making those shifts and figuring out what you need. I know for me, I like crunchy food. So if I eat a snack, one of the requirements is it's got to have some crunch to it. So just finding things that fit within that, and there are certainly healthy options. And it's making that shift. It's knowing what drives your body.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I say, like, if you need, you know, those chocolate caramel turtles that have the ooey-gooey caramel and the dark chocolate and the pecans or the nuts in them, that has always been one of my favorite foods, but it's so full of sugar and it's got partially hydrogenated oil. So one of the simple recipes that I came up with, that it's so simple, is just cutting a date in half, taking out the pit and laying it flat, putting some pecans on it, and then melting some dark chocolate and putting a dollop on top. And if I need a sweet treat, a little fix, that's my go-to sweet.
Interesting. That's an interesting option. And I think it's really about finding what works for you. And when I take people through our Eat Great, Live Well program, what I do is tells them if they really want dessert, that's okay. They don't have to give up their favorite foods, but take 3 to 5 really small bites. But take, as you're taking each bite, really taste it, really, you know, feel the texture in your mouth, really enjoy it and savor it. And then when you're finished with those few bites, put your fork down and have a conversation. If you want to go back in 10 or 15 minutes and want more, you can have more, but pay attention to each bite. And what people find when they go back, that next bite just doesn't taste that good. And when you're not getting that real powerful sensation of flavor and that satisfaction, put your fork down and stop eating, because at that point, it's literally just calories. It's not pleasure.
That is so true. I actually just had a friend, too, that had a small chunk of dark chocolate that he spoke to, rather than putting it in our mouth and chewing it up, smell it first, put it on your tongue, and let it just sort of melt a little bit, and just enjoy the sensation of the chocolate, the flavor of the chocolate, and just that one little chunk will be all you need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know one of my weaknesses are the little mint chocolate chip, or the mint Girl Scout cookies. That, like, mm-hmm. to me, that is just, those are like heaven. But what I do is I take one and I'll make like six bites out of one cookie. A lot of people just pop one in their mouth. But it's just that little bit of flavor. You know, and it's, you know, realizing what you need, but it's also paying attention to the satisfaction you're getting in your body, because a lot of times we just eat and we don't even really know what we're eating. It's just more the mechanics of it. So it's really, I love the fact that you talk about learning to just, you know, listen to your body, because I think that's so important for people to do. Most of the time, they're not even hungry and they're eating. So once they get a handle on that, that in itself is a huge shift. So can you describe how living food supported your personal healing? I know you talked a little bit about it, and just why you believe that they're so important to your health and what you do.
Well, it's going back to that fuel. I mean, it is absolutely fueling me. And the more I took away the prepackaged foods and the foods with preservatives and, you know, went to a more organic whole foods diet, primarily sticking to a lot of seasonal vegetables and things, I just, again, noticed my energy levels, my skin is clearer. I go to the dentist and, you know, they'll tell me my gums are incredible, and I'm like, it's the green juice. I always say it's the green juice, you know, because I like swish it around, and, you know, I put a little ginger in there, which is really an anti-inflammatory as well as mm-hmm. turmeric. And, you know, so the dentist is like, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I go to the eye doctor, and I'm 53 years old now. And every year they keep saying I'm going to need readers, or, you know, I'm going to need the glasses to be able to see close. And every year I blow away my eye test, and I don't need the glasses. So I really feel that these foods, because they're so vibrant and alive when we eat them, we haven't denatured the proteins or killed it. You know, I always say the microwaving is probably one of the worst things we can do to our food. It just literally, it zaps the food, but it zaps the nutrients right out of the food. So really eating more whole, healthy foods, just it's like it brings life to your body.
I agree. I think the less processed food you eat, the better. And, you know, you use a term called friendly fruiting. Can you tell us what that means, and how does it support a healthy diet?
Yes. Well, you know, I have a lot of friends who are big fruiters, and, you know, with the smoothies or eating fruit throughout the day or eating a fruit for dessert, and we have to be a little bit careful with that. Fruits are full of vitamins, full of nutrients, and in many ways very healthy, but they can also, they're very high in fructose, which mm-hmm. is the sugar that if we're eating too many fruits, especially later in the day, we're raising our blood sugar and also slowing down our digestion. Because if you're eating a fruit with any other types of foods, you know, if you're having it after a meal, it's going to actually slow down the process of digestion. So I always say fruit is best in the morning on an empty tummy, either before or a little while after your green juice. And, you know, if you're going to incorporate green juice, which I highly recommend. But the fruit actually, it really should be eaten alone for optimizing digestion. And a lot of, you know, our gut, people are now calling it the second brain. And a lot of inflammation in the body with disease can come from the gut not being, you know, not really digesting foods very well. And fruit can play a real role in that. And really, they say, you know, when I was out at Hippocrates, they talked about fruit not being more than 15% of your overall diet. And they're huge into raw foods, living foods. But really, it's and then all fruits aren't created equal, as I'm sure you know. I mean, I sort of look at fruits in three categories. We've got the lower glycemic, which is the berries. All of your different brightly colored reds and purples, your berries, are sort of in this one category. I'd also put grapefruit in there because it's fairly astringent. And then I go to sort of medium sweet fruits, which are apples and pears and peaches, which I would eat a little bit less of those. And then there's your super, super, super sweet fruits, which are like your bananas and your mango and your pineapple. And those are your real high sugar fruits. And those are the ones you want to really limit the amount that you're eating. And again, even those within those fruiting categories, they're going to digest a little bit differently. So, you know, fruit is an important part of the diet, but I would incorporate it by itself, enjoy that apple by itself, or enjoy a cup of berries by themselves, and then have, you know, wait an hour or two and have whatever else you want to have during the day. So that's my friendly fruiting.
No, that's actually, that's great, and that's, I love the way you broke it down. And just think of things, whether they're low glycemic, in the mid-range, or the high range. And I don't think people think of bananas, I mean, because they think it's a fruit, you know, it's healthier, but yet it is very high sugar. So, and I know it tends to be something that, you know, is kids love, but just really watching those when you give your kids fruit too, and getting them used to fruits at the different levels, so they just don't want those real sweet sugar-filled fruits.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would, you know, with strawberries, one of my favorite things has always been chocolate dipped strawberries, and I've revised it now to chocolate drizzled strawberries, so that you're not getting, you know, such a concentration of chocolate in there, but you just have a very slight little drizzle of chocolate. It's just enough to give that, you know, wonderful feeling of having a chocolate-covered strawberry.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And it doesn't take very much at all. So we need to take our final break, and when we come back, I want to spend the last little bit of time we have together really talking about sugar and how that impacts your health, because that's a big topic today, and I don't think people understand it. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we've been talking to Janet Verney from Roots to Wellness. And before the break, we were talking about friendly fruiting, and if you missed that segment, you need to go back and listen to it. Janet did a great job of explaining low glycemic fruits, and then medium and high. And it really gives you a different perspective on fruit choices that you're making. Fruits are not all created equal. And I want to spend the last little bit of time we have, Janet, really talking a little bit about sugar, because I think that's a topic that people are really confused about. And it's a big issue today. I know you talk about sugar saturation. Can you tell us what does that mean and how can it impact one's health?
Yeah, sugar, actually, there's so much research being done about sugar and its impact on not just diabetes, but heart disease and cancer. And, you know, it actually, when we overload our bodies with too much sugar, and we'll talk about the different forms that comes in, we are creating an underlying inflammation in the body that triggers different types of diseases. Remember, we talked about turning disease off with good foods, but sugar can actually turn a disease on, and it can actually contribute to more inflammation in the body. So a lot of research out there on this, and I think it's a really exciting thing to learn about. But then what do we do with that? And I think in our day-to-day lives, if you start reading labels when you go to the grocery store, even in healthy foods or foods in like a health food market of sorts, you can read different ingredients, and it still has cane sugar. It'll say organic cane sugar, but sugar is sugar is sugar. And they actually are even discovering that when we use artificial sweeteners, and this is what they're saying is like the Diet Coke obesity issue, people are drinking Diet Coke thinking that they're getting, you know, no sugar, less calories, blah, blah, blah. And it's actually, they're finding through research that the receptors on our tongue, when it senses sweet, it triggers the insulin release. And so it still is, we can't fool our bodies. Our bodies know when it's getting something sweet, and it responds in a certain way. So I think we need to reduce the amount of sweetness in our diet as much as we can. And then when we are going to have sweet, we do it by having those fruits, preferably the low glycemic fruits like berries. We have a couple of my favorites are, there's stevia, and I get an organic liquid stevia that is wonderful in like a tea or a coffee, or I actually will put it into baked goods as well. And that one is a really low glycemic, again, trying not to overdo it. But regular sugars, even like honeys and maple syrups and all of those will raise blood sugars. Agave is another one people turn to. That one has a lot of fructose in it. It will raise your blood sugar. And so a lot of our prepackaged foods have these different ingredients in them. High fructose corn syrup is one of the worst. And all of those things, it's like saturating our bodies, and our bodies are responding with this inflammation. So I encourage people to try to wean away from the sugars. And it's hard. I mean, the sugars can be as addictive as cocaine. That's another study that was recently published. So it is an addictive substance, and it can also create depression. So there's so much that sugar will do that creates dis-ease in the body. So really starting to wean down those sugars and wean off of them and add things like stevia. Erythritol is another one. I make sure that I get a non-GMO. It's made with corn. So if you have a corn allergy, you may not want to try erythritol, but that's one that I actually really like for baking. And it's teaspoon for teaspoon like sugar. There's another one on the market. It's rather expensive, called Lakanto, that is really good. But again, just trying to back away from these things and really read the ingredients on our, you know, prepackaged foods.
No, and I think reading labels and getting to, you know, paying attention to those are huge. And I think one thing that people need to understand is that your taste buds change very quickly, that it just takes, you know, 10 to 12 days for them to change. So while when you're making an initial change of eating something that's not so sweet, it may taste like there's something missing, but in as short as a week to 10 days, all of a sudden those same foods that tasted pretty bland or not sweet will start to taste sweet to you. So, you know, give yourself just a very short time to make that adjustment. And if you do, it will really transform, you know, what you eat and how you eat and the choices that you make.
Yeah, Yeah, most definitely. And even people with, like, joint issues, like arthritis or any kind of the achy joints, it's amazing how much when you get the sugars out of your diet, you know, or the majority of them, how much that decreases the amount of inflammation in your joints. So it makes a huge difference.
It really does, and I don't think people understand that because they say they can't do things because they hurt, yet if they made just a few simple choices in what they choose to eat, they would start to see pretty quickly a big shift in how they feel. And like you said in the beginning, you know, just your energy in itself shifted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so, yeah.
You know, as we wind down our time together, I want to have you talk for just a minute because, you know, you make a statement, love yourself enough to. Can you talk about that for just a minute?
Yes. I tell people that, you know, you fill in the blank, but, you know, it could be to, you know, I think we all know in our own minds that if we did this, blank, 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 for 5 minutes a day, or we added this into our diet on a daily basis, that it would make a huge difference in our health. So I always encourage clients and friends and family that, you know, if this is something you know that's going to benefit you, love yourself enough to do it. And whether it's a hot Epsom salt bath or adding that green juice in the morning or taking a walk with the dog, you know, every day, whatever it is, love yourself enough to do it. And when you come from that perspective, it's amazing the difference that it makes. You start making it a priority in your life. And I know so many of us that are, I know for myself, I was, you know, raising a child, and I also had an aging ill parent, and, you know, I ended up becoming for a while the last priority, and so it was balancing, making sure that I loved myself enough to do the things that were going to contribute to my health so that I could be the good mom and I could be the good daughter. And so we really need to focus on taking care of ourselves and loving ourselves enough to do the right things.
That's a great that's a great reminder. You know, you shared a lot with us today, and can you share with our listeners how they can get more information about you, about Roots to Wellness, and just learn more about the things we talked about today?
Sure, I'd love to. So my book, Roots to Wellness, is available on Amazon.com, and that's R-O-O-T-S, the numeral 2, and then W-E-L-L-N-E-S-S. It's the same as my website, so just add a .com on the end of Roots to Wellness, and you'll get to my website. Lots of resources there. I have something called the Root Cellar, where I have different products available. I have an event space where you can find out events coming up or where I'll be giving a talk. I also have a blog, and on my blog is my longevity juice, which is my specialty green juice that I drink every morning. So that is there as a resource to you. And I'm always posting new stuff, and you can also connect with me via email on my website. So I hope to stay connected.
Well, thank you. And we will put a link to your website on our eatgreatlivewellradio.com page so people can go to the go back and re-listen to this broadcast and then also get a hold of you. We'll have that there for them too. Mm-hmm. As we wrap up our time together, can you give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start living a healthier life and creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love?
Absolutely. So I know I've talked a lot about green juice, but that is actually not my number one. My number one thing to share would be to be cognizant of the negative chatter that goes on in our own heads. I'm not good enough. I'm not thin enough. You know, I don't have enough energy. I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. All of those, they're like little reruns, little tapes that go through our heads often, and some become actual habits. So I would encourage everyone to start really paying attention to the thoughts that you're thinking. And then when you catch yourself thinking a negative, like I'm not thin enough, then change it to I am thin and beautiful and lovable, and just keep repeating it over and over and over again. I am healthy. So all of those, when we start changing those negatives into positives, the result is absolute magic.
Well, that's a great way to end our time together. And thank you very much for sharing that and for sharing everything that you did today. It's really been a great conversation.
Thank you. And thanks for allowing me to share my story. And I'm really excited to have had this opportunity.
My pleasure. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link, and I'd love to have you, I'll start a post, finish the sentence stem, love yourself enough too, and let us know what you're going to do. Share what topics you'd like to learn more about, and we'll make sure we continue that conversation. Have a great and healthy week. Take care, and bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.